Welcome to Gruesomely Gorgeous. I'm your host, Taylor Wells. Joining me, my fellow narrator, Crystal Nail. All of our stories are researched by our criminal justice expert, Caitlin Brandt. Together, we are Gruesomely Gorgeous. In August of 2016, in North London, 26-year-old Kennedy Ife began acting strange and aggressive, following a pain in his throat. He reportedly bit his father, threatened to cut off his own penis, and complained of a python or snake inside of him before his family restrained him to a bed with cable ties and excessive force. BBC reported that the family then set about attempting to cure Kennedy through restraint and prayer over the next 3 days, the court was told. His brother Colin Ife told police, "It's clear that thing was in him. What we believed was a demon because it was not natural. It was clearly trying to kill him," he said. "We had to restrain him for himself. It was clear if we did not restrain him, he could have tried to harm people in our family." Kennedy Ife had been bound to his bed for 3 days without medical attention when his brother called emergency services, explaining that Kennedy Ife was complaining of dehydration. He appeared to have developed breathing issues and was pronounced dead at 10:17 a.m. As The Independent reported, while police were at the house, Colin Ife allegedly carried out an attempted resurrection by chanting and praying for Mr. Ife. All seven of Kennedy Ife's family members were accused of manslaughter, false imprisonment, and causing or allowing the death of a vulnerable adult. A post-mortem examination revealed over 60 wounds, including a possible bite on Kennedy Ife's body, and father, Kenneth Ife, along with four of his brothers, sustained injuries as well. The BBC also stated that Kenneth Ife told jurors he ordered his sons to take shifts and use overwhelming force, but denied that an association with cults, occults, and secret societies played any part in the death. After a 4-day jury deliberation, all seven family members were cleared of charges on March 14th of 2019.
An exorcism in Indianapolis. Last year, the Indianapolis Star published a lengthy report on a family that was terrorized by three children. Three children were allegedly possessed by demons. The account of Latoya Ammons and her family tells disturbing tales of children climbing up walls, them getting thrown across rooms, and children threatening doctors in deep, unnatural voices. It would seem like something straight out of a movie, a work of fantasy, if you will. Except all these accounts were more or less corroborated with nearly 800 pages of official records obtained by the Indianapolis Star. They were also recounted in more than a dozen interviews with police, DCS personnel, psychologists, family members, and Catholic priests also corroborated this. One of the more chilling reports includes a segment of a 9-year-old that was possessed. According to Washington's original DCS report, an account that was corroborated by Walker the nurse, the 9-year-old had a weird grin and walked backwards up a wall to the ceiling. He then flipped over Campbell, landing on his feet. And he never let go of his grandmother's hand. Another segment of the piece reads, the 12-year-old would later tell mental health professionals that she sometimes felt as if she were being choked and held down so she couldn't speak or move. She said that she heard a voice say that she would never see her family again and wouldn't even live another 20 minutes.
Hey y'all, it's Tay here, and I actually have a story of my own. Not necessarily my own, but my grandma. Both of my grandparents were the pastor and, quote, pastorette, her self-proclaimed title is very cute, of a church for a long time. They've retired when I was 12, but my grandma was into mental health and was a counselor many, many decades even before that, and she continued to do that. I think still through to this day, she still has a couple clients, and she's in her 80s, so she has more energy than I do. It's incredible. But anyway, so way back in the day, I want to say this was probably in the 90s, maybe the 80s, she had a client that came into her. And now my grandma does Christian counseling, so she does a whole spiritual side to it, like body, mind, soul, spirit connection. And this lady came to her, and apparently she had been very involved in the occult basically her whole life, and she wanted something different. This woman was basically a head honcho in her occult. She was one of the main witches, and she had had about 12 abortions as sacrifices to the devil, and many more insane things like that. But you'll hear how this story ends. So this woman comes and she decides to accept Jesus into her heart. And so she, you know, is praying with my grandma, and she's having to also, you know, exorcise the demons, or whatever they call it, like just rebuke the demons out of her basically in the name of Jesus. And she was like burping and shaking and all this stuff, nothing too dramatic, but it was just like her body had a reaction to it. She was like, okay, I'm okay. And then like she went outside and she fell down on the sidewalk and she couldn't get up and was like foaming at the mouth. So basically I think she had like a seizure or something like that. It was crazy. You could say it was maybe not demons. You could say it was just a seizure of some sort, but this woman never had a history of that, and she never again had that experience. So I'm not really sure. I'm not a mental health expert, nor am I in the medical field, so I can't decide that. But anyway, since this lady was so high up, a lot of the witches had respect for her, and she used that power to convert other people in the occult to Christianity because she just had big dick energy. That's the only thing you can say. She had big dick energy about it. And people saw that in her, and they saw a change in her and how she had become like a light basically, and was far more powerful than they could ever dream to be. Because they would sleep with people to like get the demons that they have as well, so that they would become more powerful and be able to do certain things. This is just what I've heard. If this is not at all correct to people and I'm offending y'all, I'm sorry. This is what at least these people did. It could be some sort of other thing, but this was our experience with it. So this lady turns her life around and is basically trying to help out as many people as she can. She had some of her old books from the occult still, and she just like got bad vibes from them.
And my grandma was like, okay, let's burn those. We got to get rid of them. And so they put it in the bathtub and lit it on fire. And it did not burn. It would not burn. Now, I hate to be anticlimactic, but I don't remember how they wound up getting rid of that book. But the story continues on. So this lady discovers that she's a great artist, and now, to this day, I guess, if she's still alive, I have no idea anything about her now except for that she's an artist and she paints pictures of Jesus and sells them. And so that's pretty cool for her. But back in the day when she was still trying to save people, she really, really wanted to help this one girl who was held hostage in a barn by the occult. She was chained up naked, and they would, do things to her, and this girl was just very, I feel so bad for her. She was abused in a very extreme way. Now, being in this environment, witnesses claimed that they saw her climbing on the walls and growling and being kind of animalistic. That's what this lady said as well, the one who is a Christian. So I thought that was interesting because, I mean, I've never seen anything like that, but I mean, I don't doubt it, because if you have a demon in you, that's a whole other thing. And then, so she went back to the barn and she got the girl and she cleaned her up and got her some clothes. People were respecting that she did that. I think like half of the people left. It was some kind of insane number, but she was being very bold, and I admire that. She was being very bold and went back and tried to make something right that I think she was involved in quite a bit, maybe. I'm not sure how involved or if the authorities were involved in anything, because again, this was like way before I was born, I'm sure. So she started to take care of this girl or young lady that was tied up in the barn. She took her to church. She was trying to take her to church, and she would just writhe around on the asphalt and couldn't get into the church. I think after being with the lady for a while, she also became a Christian and was able to go to church. That's pretty much all I know about that story, but yeah, my grandma would tell me these crazy stories. Like, she had the hottest tea ever. I also have another story. Surprise, surprise. So, my friend from college, who I was a roommate with, her grandmother was a bruja, which is a Mexican witch, and she had a mirror that she had given her granddaughter, my roommate, and we had it up in a hallway of our apartment, and I just got really freaking bad vibes off of that mirror all the time, and like in my mind's eye, I always saw like this little girl pacing back and forth, and she was evil, but she was afraid of me, and she wouldn't mess with me type of a thing, because I too have big dick energy when it comes to spiritual stuff. Now, I didn't know that she had gotten it from that grandma. Would have made a lot more sense, but I had kind of just felt something was off, and when she told me that it was from that grandma, I was like, bro, I get a bad feeling from it. And she was like, oh my gosh, so do I. But she moved out not too shortly after that. So she took it, and the apartment actually felt a lot different without that kind of stuff in the house. It was just very strange. The air was very thick sometimes when she lived there. And then when she left, it was very different. It was thin air. You could breathe. One time when she was still living with her mom as like a teenager or whatever, and she went to her mother's bedside and was like, Mom, help me. And she was like gasping for air and stuff, and like was being pulled up by her neck like she was being choked type of a thing. And apparently it was like the freakiest shit ever. And her mom prayed over her and it stopped. But like, Bruh, that's terrifying. But, I mean, I found out more things about her later that kind of made it make sense. Another interesting one was a childhood friend of mine who had the exact same name, actually, as the girl I was roommates with in college. So that's kind of weird. Anyway, when I would go to this girl's house, I would go down the hallway to use the bathroom sometimes, and that hallway always freaked me out. And I had that same mind's eye vision of a little girl pacing back and forth, like disgruntled and angry. I didn't tell her that until years later, and she was absolutely shocked because she said that so many people have said that same exact thing about that house in that same spot about it being a little girl. So, like, what the fuck? Seriously, that's terrifying. Nothing bad ever happened when I went over, thank God. It was just, like, freaky. Anyway, that's all the stories that I can think of about exorcisms. But yes, I have a very interesting life sometimes. Do any of you guys know what that means when I see, like, a little girl in my mind's eye? Like, I've always been kind of spiritually sensitive, and I would just get an image of what I think that that thing looks like. And it's very specific and the same for whatever it is about, if that makes sense. Like, it's not random at all. So, I don't know. If you have any ideas about that or any of your own crazy stories involving demons or exorcists and things like that, just submit it in the voice notes below and you might be on the next episode. Bye.